Lord willing, we're going right on through the book of Daniel, the good help of God.
Amen.
Preaching on Daniel in application. Not so much the interpretation, although we'll deal with that some, but Daniel in application as it applies to our life here in the hour that we're living in. I told, I believe, is it Marley? Is that right? I told her this morning, I said, it's a shame folks have to come all the way from Georgia just to hear good preaching.
Yes.
And is there not a bomb in Georgia? Is there no position there? I'm going to tell you, it's like Billy Kelly used to say, the only good thing ever come out of Georgia was I-85. And, but now, that's Billy's joke. That's not mine. In fact, I like 75. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved, isn't it? Some of you will smile after a while. Some of you know how to make it hard on a preacher, I'll tell you. And I'm just being honest with you. You know how to make it hard on a man of God. And but that's all right. I got a God in heaven that I serve. Amen. Daniel and chapter number 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of that portion of His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the light that it gives to my life. Thank You, Lord, for the blessing that it is each and every day. Thank You for using it to correct me and then to comfort and console me. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to stand in God's holy place as God's holy people, having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, being saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to stand before the Almighty and to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you for the privilege that's mine this morning to address God's people and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus to their heart. To be able, Lord, to do my best to encourage them in the way. May their faith this day be strengthened. May their hearts be lifted. May their souls be blessed. Their hearts and minds enlightened to the Word of God. And Father, I pray for the deliverance and the salvation of the lost, that they might come to Christ and know you in the free pardon of sin. I'd ask you to provide liberty, Lord, as I do my best to preach the Word this day. Grant power and unction that only the Spirit of God can give. I pray for that holy oil that anoints the men of God, even the Holy Ghost, Lord, that sets us in a wide place and looses our mind and our tongue and even our heart, that we might speak forth words of righteousness, truth, and verity to thy people. I'd ask you, O God, to move us now toward revival. Bless us, and may Jesus this morning be magnified in our midst, and we'll thank you in his name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 1 this morning, really is all further that we'll get, and use that as our text verse, where the Bible said, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams," and notice what it says there, "that wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him." Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and that dream so troubled him and alarmed him that it awakened him out of his sleep. And finding himself awakened, here is a man that finds himself greatly troubled in his spirit. I want to try to preach for a little while this morning, like I said, if God will help me, on what in the world will it take to make you happy? Or I could have titled the message, "A Recipe to a Sound Mind," or to having peace of mind. You know, I look at people when I go out in the public places, and you can tell from their countenance that we're living in a generation of people that are quite unhappy with their life. It doesn't take a wise man to see that there's very few people today that really live having peace of mind. I'm talking about being settled in our heart and our mind and having peace from Almighty God in such a way that it produces joy and happiness within our heart. And, you know, you can expect the world to live in that manner. They are outside the covenant of grace. Their names have never been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are lost and without God and without hope. They have absolutely nothing to look forward to but eternity incarcerated in a lake of fire. They have absolutely no comfort in this life for their troubles and trials. I thought about the death of their loved ones and how, on heaven's name, do people make it these days that know not God, when a loved one, such as a child or a mate, a spouse, a mommy or a daddy, is taken from them. But I'm so glad that you and I that are saved by the grace of God have that internal witness within our heart that comforts us and consoles us and guides us through this life that we're living in. I want to say, church, that although they're without happiness out there, you and I that are saved by the grace of God ought to have some degree of joy and happiness in our own life. And I realize that the world is in chaos, that there is a great trouble, not on the horizon, but already here in our midst. There's wars and there's rumors of wars. There's fightings, and kingdoms are rising against kingdom and nation against nation. And there's great trouble. And it appears that the peace that we once enjoyed is being very gradually lifted from the earth. I know very few people that really have great peace within their heart. There's certainly not any peace between the nations. And there's very little peace in our own country. And there's even a smaller amount of peace inside the church houses today. And then I'm afraid that there's absolutely no peace in the hearts and the minds of great numbers of the people of God. And so what in the world would it take to make you happy? Some of you came in this morning and your face was as long as a Missouri mule. You looked like you'd been dining on Sawbars, sucking dill pickles. I have never heard. And you can tell from the countenance of people that there's not much peace or joy within their heart. Now let me say some things by way of introduction to you and interpret this chapter. The second chapter of Daniel is possibly one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible. And it is so because of the amazing prophecy that we find in its words, or that it reveals. Dr. H.A. Ironside said, "I suppose it contains the most complete and yet the most simple prophetic picture that we have in all the Word of God." He said, in this great passage of Scripture, we find the development and the decline of world power in the rise and the fall of kingdoms and empires. In fact, the conquest of Judah by Babylon established or introduced the first Gentile world power that we'll see. And there have been others to follow. And so it gives us a rise and a fall of the world powers. I want to say, friend, that thing troubled Nebuchadnezzar when he saw that. But you know it ought not to trouble a child of God. I'm telling you, America is crumbling around us today. And it seems that the world out there, the stock market and the politicians and the money people, a friend, they're like Nebuchadnezzar. They're troubled deep down in their hearts. But I'm telling you, friend, as a child of God, though the world falls around us and the commercial industry crumbles and the economy falls, it ought not to shake you and I in our faith one bit. We ought to be able to live with as much peace during chaos as we can in good times. You know why? Because God is still on the throne. I'm glad, thank the Lord, that He holds me in the palm of His hand. I am God's child, and I'm ever secure in the everlasting arms of Almighty God. And my peace and my joy and my happiness is not based on the world and what it does. It's based upon the Word of God and what Christ has already done for me in my life. Amen. I'm saying there's a lot of folk like Nebuchadnezzar get troubled when they see the worldly empire rising and falling, and they'll come all unglued. And he did that. With the overthrow of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar had been elevated to the lofty position of the world's greatest ruler. I'm going to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to be the president. He is the authority of the greatest nation in the world. Now I'm going to tell you, it is bound to be troubling to that man when things don't go the way that he thinks they ought to go. When peace won't come in the Middle East, and when North Korea's kicking up her heels, and Russia won't cooperate, and all the Arabs won't cooperate, son, it's enough to turn a man gray. It's enough to bring wrinkles to the face. But I'm glad, thank God, I don't even have to take a baby aspirin. Hallelujah to God. I don't know, my friend, what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow in the palm of His hand. Hallelujah to God. And it makes no difference if the world falls, because when it falls, I'm a going up. Hallelujah to God, to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I can be happy in that. I can have joy in that. I can be contented with that. I can be satisfied with that. A tenor of cottage, why should I care They're building a palace for me over there. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Yes, sir. The world around us is crumbling like a rubber ball. But God's word is forever settled in heaven, my friend. And you can rest on the promises of the Bible. Amen. Thank God. Now here's this ruler and his power. His power did not bring him happiness, nor peace of mind. But a dream from God troubled him greatly. His thought was this: how long will I continue to hold my position and my power? And I think that's exactly what troubles us today. How long can I maintain what I have? Son, I know, hey, if you'll ever get a hold of the fact that you're not maintaining nothing you have. For every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, neither shadow of variable. When you realize, my friend, that God is holding it all together for you, you can pillow your head at night and have joy in your heart. What will it take to make you happy? What will it take to make Baptists happy? Power didn't make Nebuchadnezzar happy. Position didn't make him happy. Possessions didn't make him happy. His wealth didn't make him happy. I'm telling you, friend, the temporal things of the world are not sufficient to make the heart of a man happy. Some of y'all look so sad for this morning. Can't even get a testimony out of you. Can't even get a word of testimony out of you. No, sir. The king, thank you, Brother Jerome. He possessed great wealth, but even this did not seem to provide happiness. Now, I want to say to you, my friend, that some of the things that we feel will make us happy will crumble around us. Folks have got the idea they can just have money. Money will make them happy. That is a farce, my friend. In fact, luxury and laxity, neither one work together to bring tranquility of heart. They will bring more disturbance in your life than they will anything. Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen to God. That's right. Power and wealth, possessions, do not in themselves produce peace of mind. That's right. A lot of people think if I could just have money, I'd have peace in mind. I could rest. Young people think, well, if I can just get with the right crowd, if I can just have the right kind of an automobile. Young boys today, if they can just have the right kind of a pickup truck. They find out the right kind of a pickup truck don't do a stinking thing for them. If I can just get the right job, the right kind of a job ain't going to do nothing for you. Yeah, there is a recipe that will bring peace in your mind, tranquility of your soul, and happiness in your heart, that you can come to church and rejoice in Christ Jesus and worship Him in spirit and in truth and quit worrying about all the mess that is around you. Praise God, get your eyes on Jesus. That's it, get your eyes on Jesus. Got news for you. When the waves are over your head, they're still under His feet. Hallelujah to God. Amen. He's able to make the mountains low and exalt every valley under your feet. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah to God. Laxity and luxury are not conducive to tranquility. He who reaches for power and possession in this life is never satisfied. I said, strivings of life will never satisfy you. Amen. It won't. Amen. Oh, there's people that spend everything they can get to gain an education. Oh, if I can just get the right education, Brother Hall, I can land the right job, that'll make me happy. But I'm telling you, the same trouble comes to the rich, it comes to the poor. Amen to God, son. I know what I'm telling you. You better find Christ in your life and the will of God for your life and follow God in your life, friend. Seek after the Lord and you'll be happy. Find Him and you'll be happier. Walk with Him and you'll be elated. live for Him and you exalt Him. I'm telling you, there is a life to live for the glory of God. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You bunch of knots on logs. I'm about to get tired. I'm about fed up and sick and tired of fooling with some of you. You set like knots on logs. You ought to be the happiest people in the world. That's right. Praise God. Most of you got a decent vehicle and a halfway decent job. Good wives and children and families. Amen. You got the best preacher in all the world. What else do y'all ask for? Amen. Just a little punch there. Get a smile out of some of you. I know better than that. Amen. That's right. I could stand here this morning and name things. Huh? Jerry Frazier back there lost his leg and lost his job and lost his income. And you'd think that he is down the tube all the way to the bottom. But he's driving the best vehicle he's had since I've known him. Come on in the house, boys and girls. Praise God. You, hey, you better say amen now, because in just a minute when we get to the message, you ain't going to be wanting to say amen. The man of the world who has his portion in this life only is living for a world that is passing away. So that his assets actually become, amen, Brother Jerry. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'm saying, if you ain't careful, your assets will become a burden to you, something you're heavy. You'll set your affection on things rather than God, and they'll be a burden rather than a blessing to you. Amen. This world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof, and the wealth thereof. All the glory and the pomp is going to pass away. They'll melt with a fervent heat. But I'm glad to say I'm about ready to, and my legs is rubbery today. I said, but I'd already have been down on a looping around. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, the word and the things thereof will melt with a fervent heat. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Bless his wonderful name. What will it take to make you happy? Here is a man that had wealth, possessions, power, position, and all, and one dream that caused him to look into the future. Took the peace, the happiness, and the joy that he had. Nebuchadnezzar's dream and his prophecy concerned the future. He saw no stability. He saw, and he was troubled. His eyes were open to events that he could not control. And that deprived him of peace of mind. So now I'm telling you, when things develop we can't control, if we're not right careful, we'll lose that peace. Lose that joy. I'm telling you, my legs feel like two pieces of spaghetti. This morning that have been soaked in water all night. But hallelujah to God, I'm not about to let it get me down, Brother George. I'm just going on preaching anyhow. Amen. And my mind is a little dull today, but I'm going on preaching anyhow. And by the way, I'm going on preaching with the joy of the Holy Ghost in my soul. Saved, 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 saved. Hallelujah. Some of you dead warts ought to join in. Thank you, Brother Jerome. You know, according to Philippians 4:7, there is a peace of God that passeth all understanding. And the Bible said, and it's it, that peace of God, it shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. God's peace that passeth understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, my friend, Amen. Son, if you don't get a hold, if you do not get a hold of the hour that we're living in, if you don't get a hold of the signs of the time and the hour that we're living in, son, in the trouble that is to fall upon this world, it will drive you crazier than a bed bug, my friend. You'll be like Nebuchadnezzar. You'll be troubled. Amen. Amen. Things you can't control. You get frustrated, as Brother Nolan says. Not frustrated, it's frustrated, the doc. You get frustrated. If you can't control it and pull the little levers to make it work and function, you get all bent out of joint. I'm telling you, it's in that hour, you better learn to lean. Oh, learning to lean on Jesus, hallelujah to God, in that dark hour, when you better find a resting place in the bosom of Christ, my friend. While the other disciples were frustrated, John, having laid his head in the bosom of Christ in the upper room, found rest. Found peace of mind. You know why? He knew what was going on. Knew what was taking place. And if you'll ever get in the Bible and study the Bible and realize what's taking place, what's going on around you, it'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. That word keep means to be a watcher. Be a watcher in advance. It means to mount guard as a sentinel. It means to post spies at the gate. It means to hem in and protect. Now I'm telling you, if you've got an understanding of what God's doing, if there's an understanding in your heart, that peace of God, my friend, if it's ruling and reigning, will give you an understanding that you'll not have to be troubled about what's going on around you. Preacher, I don't have a job, and you have. I used to not have one. Been there, done that, and got a t-shirt. Come and Brother Hall, we've got a family we got to raise. I've done raised mine. Oh, Brother Hall, I've got a wife to lead about. The problem is she leads you, buckwheat. Amen! Come on in the house. Now, when can we find happiness? What in the world will it take to make you happy? I won't say this right here. When Nebuchadnezzar saw the future in that dream, I personally believe that he understood the dream. I believe he understood the dream quite well to realize that it was speaking about kingdoms and his was one that was going to collapse. I believe he understood that. And it collapsed his whole heart. He couldn't handle it. Now look here. And the problem was when he looked out into the future, he had none. Now I'm going to tell you what, my friend, you can have what in the world will it take to make you happy? You'll be happy when you finally nail down the fact that your future is secure. Woo! Now I'm telling you, women are the world's worst for it. They get bent out of joint at every little thing and worry more about what's going to happen down the road than a man will ever will. Sometimes Mrs. Hall worries about what she's going to do when I die. I ain't even dead yet. How will I live? How will I pay for this house? How will I pay the bills? I'm going to tell you how they'll get paid. Son, the same way they've been getting paid. God, hey, it's God that shall supply all your needs. Now you're looking to the wrong source, ladies. If you're looking to your husband, you better be talking to God.
Amen.
Amen. We are preaching today a little while now. I want to say, our future needs to be secured. I wrote down there, saved. Then I wrote out by the side of it, glory. Put a big exclamation mark. Glory! Glory, I'm saved! I like that song, saved. Glory, I'm saved! Glory, I'm saved. Oh, yes. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. I'm saved. Hallelujah to God. And I have got peace of mind and happiness in the heart. I'm saved and I'm happy because I possess the Savior, the Lord Jesus. My beloved is mine and I am His. Hallelujah to God. Son, can you get a hold of that? Our future is secure when the Savior is possessed. Do you have Him? Are you saved? That's what I'm asking you. Do you have Christ Jesus, the Lord of glory, dwelling in your heart today? Listen what David said. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, come up upon me to eat up my flesh? They stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should arise against me. In this I will be confident that the Lord is my light and the Lord is my salvation. If my enemy crops up, if wars come up, I am confident that He is mine. And why should I be afraid?" Psalm 27 verses 1 and 2. Why should I be afraid when that old devil comes snooping around and bending my ear? Why should I worry when the forces of evil and the world begins to whisper in my ear, what's the use? The world's a crumbling around you. And we can't for some reason seem to get ourselves out of this world and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. Come on in the house now. I want to say our future is secure when our Savior is possessed. Our future is secured when the Scriptures are pondered. You know, Mary, when she got the announcement about giving birth to our Lord, the Bible said she kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. You know what our problem is today? We're not pondering the Scriptures. And I'm going to tell you, I keep coming back to our relationship to Christ and the fact that we need to get in that Bible. And don't just read through it. Let it read you. Ponder the Word of God. Set your heart on some truth and think about it. Try to consider what God is saying in that verse of Scripture. Can I give you one that I've really come to love? And I've quoted it so many times. But I want to read it to you right now. And we know. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. And friend, right here is the reason why all things work for our good. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. I'm going to make it, Miss Sandy. I'm going to make it. And you're going to make it. Why? Because God, the God that created all things. Did you hear Keith Purcell this morning? What power in the Word of God? He spoke the worlds into existence, my friend. And God has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. I'm going to make it because God has said I'm going to make it. It's not because that I'm, not because that the world is wonderful or because I've got a lot of money, a lot of wealth, a lot of power. It's because Jesus has already said so. Predestinated me to be conformed to the image of His Son. And you can either say amen or oh me to this, label me, do whatever you want to do, it don't make any difference to me. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. I want to ask you something this morning. Ponder that in your heart for a little while. Think on that for a little while. Who God did foreknow, He called, justified, glorified. Hallelujah to God, I'm telling you.
What a blessing, my friend.
Brother Jerome bothering y'all? Won't you join him? Have you pondered that? That it don't make any difference if this world turns upside down and everything in it falls into the ocean. We're going to make it. I'm happy because my future is secure. I possess the Savior. I ponder the Scriptures. And the third thing, my future is secure. When the Spirit is prevailing in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's where a lot of Baptists get bent out of joint. When you allow the flesh to rule and reign in your life rather than the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:17 said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." That is, there's no condemnation, my friend. You may not do everything you want to do, but we're living by grace, my friend, and not the law. Let me ask you something. Is the Spirit of God prevailing in your life? And I know He ain't. I'm going to tell you how I know He ain't. And when He has come, He will not speak of Himself. But whatsoever things He's heard, that He speaketh. And when He has come, He shall glorify Me, Jesus said. Amen. That is, that the Spirit of God, that's why I ain't got much talk in these charismatics. They put all their emphasis on the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Bible said the Holy Ghost to put all His emphasis on Jesus, friend.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, I know He ain't prevailing, because if He was, He'd be pointing you to Jesus this morning. Manifesting the love and the grace of God and the power of God in your life. That overcoming power of God. We're happy. What in the world will it take to make you happy? To know that your future is secure. I want to say secondly, and I'll hurry through this because I want to get to the third one and close. Secondly, when we know our faith is operative. Son, I'm going to tell you, dead faith never give anybody any peace of mind. Some of you wrestle with peace and joy because you're lost. You have never. Faith is not operative in your heart and your life. That's why there's no peace of mind, no joy of spirit, is you're lost. I know that's right. Hallelujah to God. Hebrews 10:38 said, "Now the just shall live by faith." And right here is where some of you are living. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now here is the thought I want to make. Some of you have no pleasure in yourself. And the reason you don't is because God don't have any pleasure in you. What happened to you folks who used to run around here with Jerry and shout? I don't charge you a dime for that. You know what your problem is? You're drawing back. Your faith is not operative. Oh, you've got faith. But it's dangling there like a dead limb on a tree, friend. Oh, you've got saving faith. But do you have living faith? He didn't say the just shall be saved by faith. He said the just shall live by faith 4 times in the Word of God. Are you living? Is it operating in your life? I'm going to tell you, if it is, friend, one thing you'll be able to overcome the world.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you what. We entertain the idea that overcoming the world is this. Buddy, I don't go out to Hollywood. Praise God. I ain't got a television set in my house. And no, boy, I don't go to the ball games and the amusement park. Son, I've arrived. I don't really think that's what he's referring to. The world system and the way it operates, the way that it puts fear into your heart and tugs on your soul, the uncertainty of the world, the instability of society, the unfaithfulness of men, we let those things rule and reign in our hearts. and they're all of the world. But I'm telling you, but he said in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I'm going to tell you something else. Some of you sitting in here, let what other preachers do, you look at preachers and what preachers do don't live up to your standards, and you let that bother you. And I wouldn't be at all surprised after the problem we had just a couple of weeks ago that you don't see a whole host of people committing suicide or trying to commit suicide. That'll depress.
Amen.
Come on in the house, children.
Yes.
I'm telling you, we'll let what a man did that said he was a preacher depress us and oppress us and rob us of the victory and the joy God wants us to have. And that tells me that humanity is looking at humanity. It's the creature worshiping the creature. We better get our eyes on the Creator, Brother Wayne. Yes, sir. Praise God. Get your eyes off of the creature, son, on the Creator. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you're sick and feeble, and I've been watching you. You're looking at the wrong person. I have tried for almost 15 years to point you to Jesus. Don't you look at Hall. He'll disappoint you in areas of life. Man, I'm not infallible. I am flesh and blood, and so is every other man of God and preacher. But I'm telling you, there's one friend we can look at. Hey, man of God, that'll never let us down. Yes, sir. If you get oppressed looking at Jesus, something wrong. And y'all remember I preached on bouts of oppression? There's a difference between oppression and depression. Yes, sir. One of them comes from without. The other comes from within. Don't look at that. Don't look at the world. Don't look at preachers. Look to Him. Aren't you glad that when Moses penned down the book of Numbers, when the children of Israel had sinned and they raised that brazen serpent up, he didn't say, look to John Rice and live. He didn't say, look to Jack Hiles. He didn't say, look to Sammy Allen. He didn't say, look to Ronnie Simpson. He didn't say, look to Phil Kidd. He didn't say, look to Gary Hall. He said, look to Jesus and live.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People can look at their poverty and grow discouraged and depressed and despondent, defeated. Now I'm fixing to get one. I believe you're going to nail about half this crowd. I won't say that faith has got to be operative. Faith overcomes the world and faith pulls down strongholds. It'll overthrow strongholds. Down my specs. We ain't done preaching yet. We got a little while, praise God. Paul said in Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the walls fell down. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What stronghold, what barrier are you facing that you can't get over this morning? What obstacle is in your life depriving you of the joy of being saved? Are you tired of hearing Hall? Life situation ain't treating you just right. Things ain't what you thought they should be. I got news for you. Man that's born a woman is a few days in full trouble, church. Maybe you're not living where you think you'd like to live. Maybe your abode is not conducive to your lifestyle. You can overcome it. Son, we ought to be, we ought to be able to live in a tent, son, and have God and be happy about it. That faith will pull down strongholds. What obstacle in your life is hindering you from finding joy of the Holy Ghost? What obstacle is depriving you from that peace of mind? And I'm telling you, when our minds get troubled and frustrated and all filled up with all kinds of silly ideas and thoughts and notions, I'm telling you, only by faith can you pull them down, friend. Only by looking to Christ can you pull them down. Now, I'm going to tell you, somebody said, now, Brother Hall, you're a preacher, though. So what? That multiplies the problem. I say, well, here's what the devil tells me. You're 55 years old now and got Parkinson's disease and your legs are getting weak and tired and your voice is getting sore. You can't be as active as you once was. Them people over there are just about fed up with you. And by the way, you know that so-and-so didn't shake your hand this morning. They're probably mad. They're getting ready to leave the church, too. And when they leave, they're going to take half the congregation with them. And you ought not ever let Doug. I'm about to come down to the end of life and ain't got sufficient life insurance. I don't know what I'm going to do. We worry. Strongholds. That verse goes on to say that faith will pull down strongholds, casting down every imagination, every high thought that exalts itself against Christ. Amen. You have to learn to pull down some strongholds, friend. Amen, amen to God. Amen. I like what Vernon Huckleberry said. Why should I worry? Ain't nobody going to worry about me. You don't know Vernon, but I do. Now, three things. I've got 3 points. We can have happiness and peace of mind when our future is secure, when our faith is operative. And thirdly, and I know this, don't nobody leave now, when our family life is satisfied. And I'm going to say right there is the biggest disturbance in Baptist churches today. Marriage is not what I thought it ought to be, preacher. Well, hallelujah. Whoever said it would be. I've read the Bible as the old man of God said, from kimmer to kimmer, and I've not found a perfect one yet. Abraham argued with Sarah. Isaac and his little bride had their problems. Son Jacob, Rachel, and Leah had a real time of it. Now, I want to say this right to some of you young people in here. I want you to listen carefully. Our family life is satisfying. We can have peace of mind and be happy. You spend more time in your home than you do anywhere else. And if it's a constant turmoil, buddy, and there's no peace in the home, there will be no peace of mind, no peace of spirit, no peace at church, no happiness of life. How you live at home can make you or break you, son. It is no wonder He ordained the home and the institution there long before He ever did the house of God. Now hear me well what I'm getting ready to say. If our family life is satisfying, our mate must be compatible. As far as I'm concerned, you get one shot at it, friend. You better make sure it's right. You better find the one God wants you to have. Somebody said, oh, preacher, what happens? I'm going to tell you to throw a cog in your spoke. Have you read about Jacob, how he worked all those years for Rachel? And he woke up the next morning, and lo and behold, he had a Leah, not a Rachel. Amen. He wanted a wife that was compatible to him. You young boys in here and young girls, you better look for a mate. You better look at something besides a macho body in a boy, girls. You bet. That is absolutely right, son. You amen to God.
Amen.
Notice what the Bible said about that situation. In Genesis 29, 28, the Bible said, "And Jacob did so and fulfilled her weep. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife, and he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel also more than he loved Leah." Somebody said, "Preacher, what I'll do if I get stuck?" Son, you better work at it. You better learn to work on your marriage, somebody. If it's going to be rewarding and satisfying, I'm telling you, it takes work and labor and trust and help from God. Amen. Better find the right one. You know, hey, look at the world around you. Oh, if we don't find the right one, we'll just cast it aside and try another one. Bunch of brainwashing, egg-sucking, secular psychiatrists and psychologists that want to feed that bunch of mess into people's minds. All you got to do, if you don't like the one, if you can't make it out all right, try somebody else. I was reading in the newspaper yesterday. Now, I was reading in the police report, the court hearings, and there was a woman. It gave a woman's name at this address and what she had done. And I looked right at the next of it, and there was a man had a totally different name and the same address. I said, "Whoo! Shack up time, boys!" You better find somebody that's compatible. Mate must be compatible. I won't say this, maturity must be considered in a marriage. You better grow up, children.
Amen.
Happy home must be worked at. And I want to say this, that most marriages struggle in their early years. If you put your heart into it and your faith into it, stay in the house of God and listen to what the preacher tries to tell you, make it through the early years, buddy, when the struggle... That's right. That's right. In the early years, the struggle is there. How long y'all been married, Brother Robert? 40 years. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. I bet it didn't come easy either, did it? Been there, done that, and got a t-shirt, church. Do you think that Sister Hall and I have... Do you think that our life is always just a bed of roses? Smiles and hugs and kisses? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be honest. I've got to give her credit. She had more grace than I had in our early years. If I'd have been married to me, I'd have killed me. Never divorced, but I'd have thought of murder. Now, look here. Hey, maturity. We'll consider the consequences of separation and divorce. You better think about it. If you look at that little one sitting beside of you, Mom and Daddy, son, you will learn. You will swallow your stinking pride and learn to love the man or the woman God has given you for the sake of those children sitting beside of you. Do you know what the philosophy is today? Well, when we get older and get our children raised, then we're going to split up. We'll make it to then. God have mercy on that bunch of devil.
Amen.
Me and the sis there, we in it to the end.
Amen.
To be quite honest, we like that old Band-Aid commercial. I'm stuck on sis, because sis is stuck on me, buddy. That's it.
Amen.
I don't want nobody else, sweetheart.
Amen.
You can make it work, and
Amen.
You can be happy in it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand the bozo I'm married to.
Yeah, I do. I'm a bozo. I understand bozo. He's not very romantic. Teach him to be. I've learned a lot in almost 36 years. I remember years ago, Miss Hall and I living in Green Valley, Arizona. I went in the bedroom one night getting ready for bed, and over our bed was about a little candle thing with five candles in it, and they were burning. Miss Hall was looking for romance. And I said, are you so stupid that you'd burn the house down with that bunch of, blow them stupid candles out? Real romantic Hall. I walk in the house now, and she sets down at the table and lights that little candle, puts it in the table. We sit there and eat our stir fry together. I say, my, aren't we romantic today? I'm so glad I've got a caring wife and a loving wife. It's so romantic she wants to even eat lunch by candlelight with her husband. Isn't that, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. That's right. I'm going to tell you something. I have considered the consequences. My children, grandchildren, the church. And I've got enough sense to know that people do look at the man of God enough that if he falls, it's going to devastate them. It will. But I've considered those consequences of separation and divorce. Hey, let the Word of God be your guide in decision making. Every decision you need to make, make it in light of that book. You'll never go wrong. Hey, and look here. Strive. You know how to be happy? Come on now. You know how you can be happy in your home life? If you'll strive, do everything you can do to make your mate happy. It'll make you happy. I forget, was it Valentine's Day, wasn't it? I bought that big card. I went and bought Miss Hall a big card, buddy. Went upstairs and sat down at my desk in my study. And I wrote down everything on that card I thought that I could write. That it'd impress her, make her think she's really married to somebody, you know. But you know the strange thing about it? I succeeded. I walked in there in the room, she was reading it, and the tears were just running. I wasn't worried about getting nothing. I had my reward right there. I saw her happy. That's all that I needed, friend. Hey, and if you'll strive to make your mate happy, quit worrying about doing things to make you happy. Do everything you can to make her happy. Or lady, do everything. And if you should do everything you can to make the other happy. And his last point, and I'm not going to tarry on it because of its content. I don't think I have to. Our mate must be compatible, our maturity must be considered, and our marriage must be complete.
Amen.
And I'll read the scripture, and I don't think I have to say a thing about it. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence.
Amen.
And likewise also the wife unto the husband, for the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his body, but the wife.
Amen.
Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time. Now get this. You know how often you're supposed to be away from each other? That ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. I'm just being honest with you. These preachers that run all over the country without their wife, it is not biblical. It is not biblical. Fasting and prayer. and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinence. Now, I'm not, hey, I don't have to elaborate on it. You know what Paul's talking about there. But I'm telling you, friend, a marriage has got to be complete. For a home to be satisfied, a man and his wife have got to be given to one another. That is right. That is right. Well, preacher, she's had two or three children. Her shape is not like it used to be. Why don't you get in a full-length mirror, Buckwheat? I stepped out of the shower the other night and looked over them sliding doors. I said, God, have mercy on my wife. Aren't you glad this old flesh, buddy? Hey, woo, Elijah! You boys, you got... I'm rough and tough. Well, give her time, boys. Give her time. When the frame turns to flab, and it will. I'm gonna tell you, the longer you live and the older you get, the more time you spend with one another, you learn to love somebody for what they are, in heart, and not in their body. Just a look from Mrs. Hall sometimes is all I need, boy, just to melt my heart. That's right. Just to hear her say, honey, I love you.
Amen.
Amen to God. What in the world will it take to make you happy? Is your future secure? If it is your faith working? If your faith is working, is your home, your marriage, is it satisfying? And I'd say that third point for a whole lot of people are crumbling. That's right. God help us. He come that we might have life, we might have it more abundantly. When Nebuchadnezzar saw the world and his little empire crumble, he was troubled. And the peace of mind that he had was gone. What about yours? Are we happy? Is there peace? The peace of God, does it rule and reign in your heart? Let's stand together.